Come on down to Bigfoot Joe's and get yourself a ranch water. We pissing it ourselves. Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised. Yeah, that's it. All my problems at work are very silly for the most part because I do silly things.
Yeah.
All day, every day. Oh no, I don't have enough bingo cards. I'm running out of bingo candy. Welcome back.
Welcome back
to the podcast.
We're in a basement.
Oh, we sure are. And boy, is it basementy as ever.
Yep. Sure is.
We being me and Annabelle, me being Sierra.
That's Sierra. I'm Colin.
Annabelle's
the roommate.
She's our peanut gallery. We got our kitten spayed today. So she is being just the worst. We have a teeny tiny cone on her, and she's in a teeny tiny carrier, and she is complaining about it, but we cannot leave her alone, and we really want Annabelle to be involved in this episode. Well, Colin does. Colin thinks that,
I feel like she'll dig in a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you hear any, scratching or crying, there's no dying animal.
It's just a very sad, grumpy
little kitty. Yeah. But we gave her some CBD, so hopefully
she'll...
That's like
a pet name. Come over here, you grumpy little kitty.
Can I have your
grumpy little kitten?
If you'd like, you can upload that picture.
I took a really bad picture of the turtle. We were trying to get, like, a cute one, and, it was not a cute one. Look at this fucking shitty ass picture. They're all really bad because she would not stop moving. But we were trying to get a picture of how dilated her eyes were because of how drunk she is. And it sucks. Go on the blog. It's there. She'll be there. Don't worry about it. We found out that somebody put a bunch of cloudy quartz crystals around Colin's fire pit in his backyard. And we all stood there. Stoned out of our gourds, going, what is this?
And I said, I have no fucking clue.
Who cursed you? Or who put a spell? Who did something here? They were all just perfectly in the ground, like right next to the fire pit, just covered up by the weeds. You couldn't really see them. And then we saw one, and then we saw another, and another, and then we went all the way around, and we were finding all these rocks and, like, freaking out. Because, you know.
Rocks?
What did we just uncover? There's a witch. She did this.
Yeah, probably, but probably a good witch.
I hope so.
A good people witch. Like a good witch.
State Farm is there. But anyways, we did that. I caught a ping pong ball with my thighs.
Oh, you good missed job. That part.
You missed that. That was fun.
Almost as good as a rabbit.
Uh-huh. And then we played darts, and we were really, really bad at it.
To be fair, I wasn't.
I was really good.
To be fair,
it was Annabelle's first time playing darts.
And we're short.
And the dartboard was really high up. I felt like I was throwing them at the ceiling.
Yeah.
I was afraid I was going to hit the chandelier. Gonna swing. So anyways, can I have the seatbelt? Thank you. We should
do this thing.
So is this a worm brain episode?
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Should I plug my worms in
you
for
You should
this?
Plug your worms in
Annabelle,
for this.
Plug
you
them
should
in.
Take your anti-whiplash medication. You should really just be strapped in all around. This is an exhilarating and exhausting adventure.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Okay, so Jake gave me this idea.
Okay.
He sent it to me.
Okay.
And it sent me spiraling.
Okay.
And I now hate the world.
Yeah.
And I hate a lot of people in the world.
Okay.
I just want to crawl up into a cave and cry.
Yep. Yep. Finding out things will do that to you.
Yep. First, I'd like to take us all the way back 4,000 years ago.
Why?
Around 2000 BC. We don't really know when this was, but we guess it's around 2000 BC.
Okay.
This is before written history.
Okay.
This is a time before we knew about bread. There's the guy. He's a merchant. This is 2,000 years before Jesus H. Christ. by the way.
Jesus Henrietta Christ.
Exactly.
So there's a guy.
There's a guy.
And he's a merchant?
He is a merchant. He's got a pouch. The pouch is made out of a sheep's stomach. And he sets off on a journey across the desert.
Is this a story from that book that we haven't read?
No, this is before the book that we haven't read.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It was before the guy, the main...
Before the main,
character of that book that hadn't been written yet. Oh, shit.
So he embarks on this journey. He's got this pouch filled with milk. As he walks...
What? 2000 BC? Hang on a sec. I had to put down my water cup for that. 2000 BC, they figured out how to make a pouch to
hold liquid? It's out of a sheep's stomach. They literally took a sheep's stomach, tied a knot in it, and they're like, good enough.
Got my backpack.
Literally, backpack.
It's a literal milk sack.
Yes. Yeah. So as he's walking across the desert with mm-hmm. this stomach full of milk, mm-hmm. the pouch gets warm in the sun. And the milk inside mixes with the stomach proteins from the sheep. And that night, he was delighted to find his milk tasted even better than before. It was cheese. Whiplash warning.
I was literally like, what are we talking about? I was like, is it cheese? Is it cottage cheese? Cheese?
It was just curds and whey, and he really liked the whey.
I love the way you make me feel. Ariana Grande, the whey.
Yeah, W-H-U-Y. Great. Okay, whiplash warning.
Okay.
Fast forward to the 1800s. So basically 4,000 years.
Uh-huh.
Humans are intentionally making cheese. We have an entire industry devoted to making this stuff.
Uh-huh.
By 1880, in the United States alone, there were almost 4,000 dairy factories producing 216 million pounds of cheese annually.
Well,
that's the equivalent of 6,696,000 cubic feet. Almost 7 million cubic feet of cheese. Annually in 1880, the United States dairy farmers were pumping out enough cheese to stretch from St. Louis all the way to the tip of Miami, Florida.
St. Louis, Missouri?
St. Louis, Missouri to the tip of Miami, Florida. If you had cubic foot blocks, that's how much cheese they were producing in a year.
Turtle yes. has a question.
Does Wisconsin have to contribute to have, like, does it, do you know, like, what the statistics are?
Yeah, so Wisconsin was involved. We really won't get into it. Wisconsin was most of the cheese. It was like 80%.
Yeah, it was.
I'm learning so much about cheese so fast. And my jaw is on the floor. And I know that you're, like, going fast through this because we haven't even gotten to, like, what we need. Okay. All right.
I mean, there's a lot we need. Oh, there's a lot of pieces.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, Jesus H. Christ.
We needed him.
When Jesus Helvetica Christ.
Helvetica.
Isn't that what you said?
I said Henrietta. Helvetica is a font.
I mean, yeah, I know that, but like...
I hate this place.
Oh, I hate Jesus. This place. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, Helvetica Jesus. Christ.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
It's full circle. This isn't gonna make any sense.
We should just stop while we're ahead. If you got this far, thanks for tuning in, guys.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
Okay.
No.
Back on track. Of course, it didn't stop there. Cheese production continued to grow. By the 1920s, the United States was producing 418 million pounds of cheese every year. So practically twice as much as 40 years earlier. By 1970, that number was 2.2 billion with a fucking B pounds of cheese. A lot of cheese.
What?
Every
okay.
fucking
this,
year.
This makes no sense. What do you mean? Because that would mean that... How many pounds did you say? The last pound number.
2.2 billion.
2.2 billion pounds of cheese.
Uh-huh.
When we digest cheese and we poop it out, how much do you think is left? Because that's how much cheese we have to get rid of. You know what I mean? That's more cheese than people. That's more cheese pounds than people.
Yeah, but like, it's within a year. Like, a pound of cheese isn't actually that much cheese.
It feels pound, like it, though.
No.
Or 200?
I have a lot of math for this episode.
Oh, no. Cheese and math?
Yeah. So, a pound of cheese is approximately 3.69 cups of cheese, which is approximately 0.031 cubic feet.
Okay.
So, a little less than 4 cups.
Uh-huh.
Is a pound.
Uh-huh.
So, like, imagine how much of that do you eat in a year? Probably more. Probably yourself, if you are a cheese eater, you probably eat, like, at least 6.
6 what?
Pounds. Oh. And cubic feet.
Cubic feet. I eat at least 6 cubic feet.
And I know there's a lot of units in here.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying cubic feet just because I wanted to get a measure of scale of like what this looks like in space on the earth
in physical space,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're measuring it in pounds, which is how you measure cheese.
Right, right.
But if you average the average weight, if you have the average weight of cheese, that's where these numbers are coming from.
Okay.
So like you have softer cheeses that are wetter and are heavier than the drier cheeses.
Yeah.
Sierra likes that.
Yeah. Wet cheese. Mmm.
Cottage cheese? That's a wet cheese.
Cottage cheese is a wet cheese.
It's a very wet cheese. It's oatmeal.
The oatmeal of cheese.
The average consumer in the United States ate about 40 pounds of cheese in 2020.
I'm not surprised at all.
40 pounds of cheese?
That's okay. 40 pounds of cheese is 1 and a little bit cubic foot.
Yeah.
Because a cubic foot of cheese is approximately... I have it
4.9 cups.
No. A cubic foot of cheese is approximately 32.26 pounds.
Okay.
So
this, I'm barely hanging on by a thread.
So I hand selected facts and I left out a bunch of numbers. And we're talking about the numbers I left out intentionally.
Were they wearing wigs?
They were wearing wigs.
Okay.
But like, if you want to see my math.
No. Sorry. No, I'm not questioning your math. I'm truly just trying to wrap my tiny brain. My
it's
tiny
a lot of
mind
cheese. Oh, we'll talk about how much cheese there is.
That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to.
Yeah.
Get some sort of grip, and I'm losing it bit by bit right now.
Yeah, it's just a shit ton of cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
And for what? Why so much fucking cheese? Like, obviously, it's not just the United States that is obsessed with cheese. Like, European nations have always been.
Yeah.
But we're just going to look at the United States today. We're just going to use that as the model.
Okay.
But I do have some interesting background before we move on.
Oh, boy.
We're going back in time again.
Oh, my God.
This time to 1894.
Okay.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture publishes its first dietary recommendations. Baby's first dietary recommendations.
Welcome, baby. Welcome.
Baby's first dietary.
Welcome, baby diet's first. I lost it.
At this point in time, science was still iffy, so they hadn't discovered all the vitamins and minerals that humans use on a daily basis. So the recommendations that they're publishing are kind of whack. But the USDA had determined the minimum levels of some vitamins required to prevent nutritional deficiencies like scurvy and beriberi, which is vitamin B1 deficiency.
Beriberi.
Beriberi.
Is it because you turn blue?
No.
Why is it called beriberi?
You didn't get enough. I don't know. I think it's scurvy.
Yeah, I know it's scurvy.
It's like scurvy,
is,
but
berry.
But no, it's
berry flavored.
It's vitamin B1 deficiency.
Yeah. Scurvy is vitamin C deficiency.
Oh, really? Interesting.
That's why they oranges.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Pirates.
I thought scurvy was just a joke.
No, pirates got scurvy a lot.
Because they didn't have oranges.
They couldn't keep fruit.
Yeah, they couldn't keep fruit on the pirate ship.
Right, that makes
sense. It goes too easily. They can't keep it like in a good condition for long enough.
Yeah. They didn't have preservatives.
Preservatives. So with this new knowledge, Americans start enriching their flour products with B vitamins and putting iodine in salt. Basic public health stuff.
Period.
Because of this, malnutrition decreased as a major cause of death in the United States. Yay! USDA did something! Yay!
Put this out.
Yay!
And then 1916 rolled around. The USDA publishes their first food guide titled Food for Young Children.
Whoa.
Written by nutritionist Caroline Hunt.
Oh my god. Are we talking about the fucking food pyramid?
A little bit.
And how cheese doesn't belong on the food pyramid or something like that?
A little bit.
Okay.
The guide categorized foods into five groups. Milk and meat, cereals, vegetables and fruits, fatty and fatty foods, and sugary and sugary foods.
Sugary and sugary foods?
Sugar and sugary foods.
Oh. I was like, what's the difference?
I don't get it.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're kind of getting there, they're but trying. They still have like milk and meat within.
It's like a food hexagon right now, not a food pyramid.
I guess. I mean, the sure. I'm not even going to fight that.
I'm not even going to try to argue with your dumb comment.
So the next year, Caroline helped publish the same guide, but this time geared it towards the general public, not just kids. And this time they called it How to Select Foods.
Oh boy.
They kept using the same model for the most part until the 1930s. In the 1930s, the Depression caused food scarcity, so in 1933, Hazel Stiebeling, a USDA economist, developed four food plans depending on cost level. Basically, she created a guide so people could still eat healthy on a budget. Period. Her guide featured 12 different food groups.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that both of these legendary nutritionists are both women in the early 1900s.
Period.
Go off.
Yeah. So and what happened? Why is it the worst now? Why are people obsessed with what food...
With food?
Caused... Yeah. People
what are, like, food obsessed... causes...
Like... Like, people are obsessed with, like, eating clean and, like, whole foods and, like, all that stuff.
Well, they kind of have always been, but it's just we know a lot more now than we did back then.
Yeah.
100 years later. So.
That's okay.
Hazel creates this guide. It's got 12 different food groups recommended for four different cost levels.
That's
so
cool.
You're poor. You can still eat healthy.
She said, I'm for the people.
Mm-hmm. And they just keep revising this model. It went through World War II with even more food insecurity, which we've talked about before.
Yes.
Then through the 1970s, and eventually in 1992, the USDA published its first food pyramid with six different food groups.
Oh no.
Bread, cereal, rice, and pasta made up the base.
Yeah.
Veggies and fruits shared the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And the third level had meat and other proteins and an entire section for dairy.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the whole thing was capped with fats, oils, and sweets.
Wait. Okay. Okay.
You're supposed to get mostly carbs. Is what they want.
Period. Like, can do.
Mostly carbs.
1992. I will absolutely carb up for you anytime. Let me know when.
I guess, yeah.
I love bread.
So, next little adventure. And the other thing is they're basing it off of, like, serving sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have a loaf of bread and, like, some meat, you know? Because if you ate that much meat, it just, that would be a lot of meat, you know?
Yeah,
so, it kind of makes sense, but it's still, we got this food pyramid.
We're eating carbs.
We're eating carbs.
We're having a good time.
Great.
Ugh.
Next little adventure.
Yeah.
Painting pictures, not timelines.
Yes.
36% of Americans are lactose intolerant.
Oh,
just
fun.
In general, these are like current day stats.
Damn.
Symptoms range from simply just bloating to difficulty breathing. So, why the fuck does the government recommend? Why is USDA out here putting dairy as an entire section on the food pyramid? Like, what's the fucking point? Well, it's nutritionally dense, protein-packed, and offers bone support for the rest of Americans.
You don't get the majority, bone support.
Exactly. The majority of Americans who are lactose intolerant are people of color. Uh-huh. 80% of Black Americans and Hispanic Americans, 95% of Asian Americans, and just under 100% of Native Americans are lactose intolerant. So basically...
Just under 100% of Native Americans?
It said 95 to 100%. Like, come on.
That's bonkers.
Isn't it? And white people are just out here like, yeah, let's put it on the food pyramid.
I love chugging milk, and I feel bad now. Am I racist?
Inherently, yes. So when I was in elementary school, there was this janitor that would walk around the lunchroom, and you were required to take like a milk, or I think they also had juice, but it was shitty or something. But he would come around, just go up and down the aisles going, open your milk. Open your milk.
What the fuck?
Open your milk.
That is horrifying.
He was the sweetest man in the world. He actually passed away like 2 years ago.
I'm very sorry for your loss. But
if you had an apple, you could go up to this man and be like, hey, can you cut my apple? And he'd cut it in half with his rusty pocket knife. And there'd be a star in the middle. I know this sounds crazy because I look back at it like
milk. A lot. Open your milk. Let me open your apple. You should get a tetanus shot.
One time he asked me if I wanted my apple. I was like, no, I will just eat it like this. A boring, starless apple.
I'm really trying not to get a disease. Or
I'm sure he cleaned it, but it just did not look
clean.
From afar.
Wow.
And a elementary school brain that doesn't know what clean looks like.
R.I.P. this fucking legend, man.
Yeah. No. Damn. It was really sad. Yeah. I think it was on Facebook that he had passed away. And it was
like, oh, yeah. The lady that
who's
ran.
Who's going to tell him to open their milk?
So, in California, the Parks and Rec, like, ran by the school district.
Leslie, no thank you.
Yeah. They would essentially provide free childcare after school in a lot of like Southern California counties.
Right.
And so after elementary school, from like kindergarten until like started taking the bus, so like fifth grade, I would go to Parks and Rec before, and it was just this little portable building in like the playground, like on the side along the fence. And that's where I would go every day before school and after school until my mom could pick, or my parents could pick me up, right? And I found out on Facebook that one of the ladies, and I spent like literally a lot of fucking time there. That's where I got my Roller Coaster Tycoon obsession from.
Ah.
And also they really fueled my love for Michael Jackson. They let me play CDs.
Gotcha.
In the CD player. Anyways.
Compact discs.
Compact discs, baby. But the lady that ran my Parks and Rec for a really long time, I thought she was horrible, and she gave me the nickname Small But Mighty. That was the only nickname I ever got my entire life, because I'm so much smaller than literally everyone. And when I was a kid, it was very, very noticeable. Mm. And so she gave me that nickname, and I fucking hated it, bitch. I hated it. I was like, I don't like it. And they would just keep calling me it, like, literally all the time. But her name was Gracia. But Gracia, I hated her. I hated her.
Gracia?
And, yeah. Gratia.
Gracia. Interesting. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that as a name before.
Like Grace, but Gracia. I don't know. Yeah. But she passed away a couple years ago, I think in like 2020. And I saw it on Facebook and I was like, damn.
Gracia.
What a fucking bummer, dude. Yeah. This old person that I knew when I was tiny died.
Yeah.
This is bizarre. Anyways, open your milk.
Okay, so literally this cheese thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, this dairy thing.
Yeah.
It's just white supremacy.
Oh.
White people being like, yes, this is good for us. Let's put it in the food pyramid, and not considering that 36% of Americans are lactose intolerant, which is a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling, I'm sorry, it's just so fucked. No matter how you fucking spin this disco ball, it's a fucked disco ball.
And it's covered in milk and we feel sick.
Exactly.
It's getting in my mouth.
Exactly. Whiplash warning.
Okay.
This time, let's jump to 1933.
Oh my God.
Franklin.
Okay, we have sliced bread. I'm trying to name all the things that have happened. We got a Mona Lisa and we lost it. We got the Statue of Liberty.
There's molasses that had been cleaned up.
Yep, molasses was cleaned up.
The Cuyahoga is not cleaned up.
God, no, it's about to get worse, actually. A lot worse. Anyways.
Franklin D. Roosevelt is president. The economy is in shambles.
Oh, God.
He launches the New Deal and a bunch of other projects to hopefully save the U.S. economy.
Okay.
One of these was the Commodity Credit Corporation, or the CCC. Basically, their job was to stabilize and protect farm income and prices.
Okay.
They're allowed to buy and sell land and do business for the purpose of stabilizing prices, increasing production, or facilitating marketing of farm goods. They're allowed to borrow up to $30 million at a time from the United States Treasury.
The CCC?
Yes, but not the other CCC that was also started during the New Deal, which is the Civilian Something Corps, which is basically a group of unemployed, like, okay, you don't have work, you're unemployed, you're a man, and you're unmarried. You can join this other CCC and basically get a free job without an interview.
You can join and this so, frat.
Yeah, and so that existed and is basically why we have national parks that are so wonderful, because of the CCC back then.
Okay.
And then they dissolved it when the draft started in 1942.
Got it.
Because it was interfering with the draft.
Yeah.
It's like, you're unemployed, go to war.
You want to live? Go die.
Exactly. So this CCC, the Commodity Credit Corporation, they can borrow a bunch of money. Their job is to make farm income and prices stable.
So this was in 1930?
1933.
And they were allotted $30 million in...
I don't know.
Current currency or...
I did not look into it.
Back then currency.
The function of it is what matters.
Okay. Not because, how much it actually is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because their existence is to make sure that your bananas are adequate prices and you can buy bread, sliced or unsliced, and be able to afford it. And you can live as a farmer and still be able to provide, like, you're paid fairly, and on the other end, people are able to afford your product.
Yeah. Okay. That's a lot of money, but
what
the fuck did they use that shit for?
A couple years later, after the CCC is formed, the Agricultural Act of 1949 grants the CCC the power to purchase dairy products from farmers to help stabilize prices. So before this, it was just like apples, oranges, and
zucchinis. Shit like
that, you know. No big deal. Until the 1970s roll around.
Okay.
The economy's tanking.
Oh no.
Dairy prices are skyrocketing. In 1973, they're up 30%.
Dairy prices?
Dairy prices.
Damn, you paying, what, $7 for a gallon of milk?
That's crazy.
Nuts.
So the CCC intervenes. They subsidize the market so Americans can once again afford to buy cheese.
Yeah, bring back the cheese.
Bring back the cheese.
Open your cheese.
But it was too much. They oversubsidized. Dairy farmers aren't making enough money anymore, which doesn't make sense, because if you subsidize, I would think that... here's what happened. They dropped the prices so low because they subsidized it that the farmers aren't getting enough, which doesn't quite make sense. I think they just did shitty math and they're like...
Okay, if we sell a gallon of milk for 94 cents, that'll cover our production costs. And then the farmers can just deal with the 2 cents that we gave them.
I'm really not quite sure.
Yeah, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Moving right along.
Old-timey southern voice.
So farmers are pissed. They're getting poor because the government intervened. They're suffering.
Yeah.
So when Jimmy Carter runs for president, he promises to save the dairy farmers.
Yeah.
And just a year after being elected, Jimmy Carter starts pouring money into the dairy industry like never before.
And he saves the dairy farmers.
Practically, within 4 years, he'd pumped over $2 billion into dairy farms by subsidizing the industry. All of a sudden, these dairy farmers can afford to work. They can afford to hire people. The money is practically growing on trees. Weird. The more cheese you create, the more the government will support you. But it's too much. There is too much goddamn milk. And we were producing it like
what are we doing
crazy
with it?
Before.
What are we doing with
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Colin, what are we doing with the milk?
Mm-hmm.
Can we speculate and postulate?
Yes.
Where's the milk going? Are we sending it into space? Are we burying the milk? Colin, I swear to God, if we're burying milk, I'm going to be pissed at you.
It's kind of funny that you say that, Because at one point, a USD official told a Washington Post reporter, quote, probably the cheapest and most practical thing to do with the surplus would be to dump it in the ocean.
No, what if the fish are lactose intolerant?
Right? Right?
Okay, now I'm a different kind of mad. They didn't actually
pour it in the ocean.
Oh.
But they thought about it. But like, what? Why would you offer that as an option?
What year was this?
That would have been, so it's between the 70s and the 80s, the early 80s.
Okay, we've been to space. We've been to the moon. They took it to space.
They've just been surplus milk into space. They just have a giant cow nipple out in the middle of space.
All of those rocket launches that we've all watched, they're full of milk. There's no astronauts on there. We've had self-driving spaceships forever.
My gosh.
There's
they actually
no
launch off using milk.
Yeah, it's full. They
milk
use
is suddenly combustible.
The milk and the cheese as fuel. You know what? Jet fuel can melt steel beams, but cheese.
Milk can.
Milk and cheese can.
Oh my god. So there's too much goddamn milk.
Yeah.
But old Jimmy promised the dairy industry they'd be saved. After all, Jimmy saves.
God.
So the government starts buying all the milk they can sell.
Oh, government milk?
Government cheese.
Government cheese!
Some of it they turn into butter, some of it they dehydrate into milk powder, and the rest they turn into some shitty cheese. Government cheese.
Government cheese!
Government cheese. Within a couple years, the stockpile of this government cheese was over 500 million pounds of cheese.
Of government cheese.
Of government cheese. It was stored in hundreds of warehouses across 35 states.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a cheese warehouse in Colorado?
I don't know. Oh, not sure.
I want to go I'm to sure the cheese warehouse.
By 1981, the USDA starts to freak out. They're like, we have too much fucking cheese.
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do with it.
You guys, this is becoming a problem. It's like, they're like standing in front of a door and it's just like bursting at the seams with cheese. Like, please, you guys.
Please stop bringing us the cheese.
The cheese is overflowing. I'm covered in it.
No, it's literally like Jimmy Carter started paying these farmers too much.
The great Chizastis disaster.
Exactly. So people don't know.
Yeah.
How long this cheese is actually going to last. And it's literally the worst cheese you could ever make.
Yeah.
It's basically just milk and salt. It was nasty stuff. And they have no clue the shelf life. And all of this is happening pretty much behind closed doors. Americans don't realize this giant fucking disaster the government is in at the moment. And
it's
meanwhile.
Like Watergate.
Meanwhile.
It's like Watergate.
Ugh,
Cheesegate.
President Ronald Reagan.
Oh my God.
Is accusing poor people of gaming the system. He's pledged to reduce the federal food stamp program. He's like, fuck you guys. You're not actually poor. You're just pretending to be poor.
And I have rooms full of cheese at the White House.
Exactly. But the Americans aren't connecting the dots yet.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I really want to try government cheese.
I don't.
I want to try it. I want to try it.
You could probably make it. Just put milk out. Get a sheep's bladder, a sheep's stomach.
Get
a sheep's stomach. Okay. Go on a really long hike with milk.
I don't.
Government cheese.
Can I just put it outside? Do I have to go on a hike?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
It's just, I mean, it's just, it's so gross. I don't even want to think about eating that.
I just want to try it, you know?
From the reports, it was not good stuff.
What?
Okay, it's kind of a form of American cheese, from what I understand.
Okay.
It's like white American cheese.
It's like a cheddar. Is that what American cheese is? Nope, I don't want to get into it. Never mind.
So, American cheese, interestingly, was invented in, I think, Sweden.
Period.
But it's a processed cheese. It is actually cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Five Guys. Burgers and Fries. Is that actually the name? I don't know. Five Guys,
mm-hmm. The
chain. They use Kraft American Singles.
Hmm.
But they have a special Kraft American Single they use that they buy from Kraft that has a little bit more cheddar. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah.
Cheese facts.
Cheese facts.
There was going to be something else that I was going to say, and I I forgot.
Well, let's roll ahead then.
Yep, no, that's it. Keep going.
So, Ronald Reagan's being a dick.
Uh-huh.
The dots aren't connecting for Americans.
Uh-huh.
Until Agriculture Secretary John R. Block comes to the White House carrying a block of government cheese. He's at this event carrying this block of cheese. It's 5 pounds. It was moldy.
Oh.
He held it up as he told the press, quote, "We've got 60 million of these that the government owns. It's moldy. It's deteriorating. We can't find a market for it. We can't sell it. And we're looking to try to give some of it away." And suddenly, Ronald old Reagan looks like an absolute asshole.
Oh.
So you're telling me you have millions of pounds of cheese and a starving population, but you won't give away the shitty cheese for free? Like, put it in a food bank. Do something.
Oh.
Like.
My God, Colin.
You have all this.
I literally cannot even fucking fathom that this happened.
I know.
But I am not fucking surprised because it's Ronald motherfucking Marie Elizabeth Reagan and he sucks a bunch of dick, bro. But
this wasn't also the presidents before him that were doing nothing with the cheese.
This is an old white man slander podcast, all right? I'm sick of these old white men thinking that they know what the fuck is going on. You bought 60 million pounds of cheese, dumbass. I'm sorry, but any white man that complains about anything ever, no. I'm sick of y'all. You're buying 60 million pounds of cheese and you just fucking think that the world owes you something?
Jimmy Carter's like, "I gotta fulfill my campaign promises." And Ronald Reagan's like, "Poor people are fake."
Poor people aren't real. I'm sick of it.
The public is mortified. They're pissed. Ronnie, why?
Yeah, Ronathan.
Ronathan. So in December 1981, Ronathan creates a temporary emergency food assistance program and starts handing out blocks of the shitty processed cheese to low-income families.
This is like
I know exactly. I wrote it in the right notes.
I'm literally going to pee my pants. This is literally like Trump fucking us.
I wrote
throwing the fucking rolls of paper towels.
Exactly. I was thinking that too. I mean, it's like a consolation prize.
Literally like, you're poor. Oh, here you go. You want some cheese? It's good.
But at the same time, it's like
poison.
Okay, yes, it's moldy. Yes, it's not kept in the best care, whatever. But at least it's something, right?
I have a conspiracy theory.
Yes?
Ronald Reagan is feeding the poor people the poison cheese so that he can kill them all. That it's only the wealthy left.
Probably.
It didn't work, bitch.
Yeah. Believes in poor people.
Oh.
So he promises on releasing 30 million pounds of it. Reminder, they have 500 million.
Releasing it like it's behind bars.
Exactly.
It's so gotta be on probation.
They've got 500 million pounds of cheese. He's like, "I'll release 30 million.
I thought he had 60 million pounds of cheese.
No.
Oh, there's more? 600 million?
500. What the fuck numbers are you coming up with? I don't know where you... No, they've got 60 million 5-pound blocks.
Okay.
But there is 500 million pounds of it.
Oh my fucking God.
And he's like,
God.
"I will give away 30 million.
Pounds.
But, yes.
Okay.
But it ended up being that they released 300 million pounds.
Someone's
so
not
So they gave away
the
practically
math.
Half the stockpile.
Which is fine.
No, it's great. I'm like,
what
thank
do we
God.
Need?
Get rid of it.
Yeah, for real. Take it out with the trash, man. You'll get dumpsters. Wait, no, because then it's going to go in the ground. And I hate that. Put it out in space.
Exactly.
Shoot it at the moon.
This cheese. Let's go back to how horrible it is.
Uh-huh.
The cheese is repulsive.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was moldy.
Yeah.
It was an embarrassment to have in your fridge because it was just a sure sign you're poor.
Honey, the moldy cheese block is looking at me again. She just opens her fridge and it's just literally a block of cheese, nothing else. It's got eyes in it. Just watching her.
The fridge is the cheese.
The fridge is made out of cheese.
It's actually just a bug. They're bugging all the poor people's houses.
There's mics in the cheese. There's mics in the cheese! Shh, shh, don't say anything. There's mics. There are microphones in the cheese.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus H.
Jesus H.
Helvetica.
Jesus Helvetica Christ. So a food writer, Tracy Lynn Lloyd, mm-hmm. had said it was so bad, the cheese was only good for macaroni and cheese or grilled cheese sandwiches, and that, quote, if someone made me a grilled cheese sandwich with government cheese today, I probably wouldn't eat it, but I'd still take one bite just for the memories.
Period. See, that's what I'm saying. I want to try the government cheese. But I don't like the mac and cheese slander that that woman just gave.
No, it's you mac cook and it cheese and it's better.
Deserves more than shitty government cheese.
It does, but...
Kraft... Elizabeth A. Kraft of Kraft Mac and Cheese would be pissed.
She probably would be pissed.
Ugh, there's no Elizabeth A. Kraft. I lied. She's yeah. not real.
So this shit is really bad.
Yeah.
The government has so much of it.
Yeah.
What are Ronnie's we... just handing it out like Trump hands out paper towels after a hurricane.
Like, what do you need it for?
And it gets worse.
Yeah.
If you think about it like food assistance.
Uh-huh.
Cornell University professor of agricultural economics, Andrew Novakovic, uh-huh. says, quote, almost all of the major food assistance programs in the United States were ideas that came from agriculture because we had too much of something.
Yeah.
Which you don't think about till you think about.
Right.
Like, we have too much cheese. We're going to, oh, hey, we have this thing. It's going to benefit us to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh.
We have too many canned goods. Let's give them to someone.
No, no, no. We have to hold it forever because we cannot just give things away that cost money to make.
No, there's...
It's crazy.
Here. It's crazy.
It's crazy, dude.
It's absolutely crazy.
We need to go back to bartering and trading for your goods and services. I'm sick of this credit card crap. I paid for shit today with my tap to pay for my fabric at Joann's. Fabric. And
wow.
I said, damn, I feel like magic. And now I feel like a crazy person because these people were out here with just a fuckload of cheese.
And they're like, no, my cheese.
Yeah, no, it's my cheese. Well, let's go back to bartering and trading, please.
Absolutely.
I will trade you one cheese for I'll wipe your grandma's butt. There you go. Now I'm fed for a week.
Single.
Yeah, one craft single. Singular
equals
craft
one
single.
Butt wipe.
Yep, I'm ready. Let's go back.
Finally, in the 1990s, uh-huh. dairy prices calmed down. The U.S. government finally got out of the business of buying cheese for a bit, but they still had more cheese in storage. So they created the National Dairy Promotion Board to help sell the shit. This board created campaigns like Got Milk, ever heard of it, to try to promote the shitty dairy to families. They also reached out to fast food restaurants and started making Deal and Doug deals.
Yeah.
Companies could get the product for super duper cheap. And with it, they created popular menu items like Domino's 7 Cheese Pizza and Taco Bell's Very Cheesy Quesalupa. Now, the cheese is still out there. There's still about 1.4 billion pounds of it. The majority of the cheese is owned by private companies, with a small amount still owned by the USDA.
Colin, this cheese is like 100 years old.
I know.
And it's still out there.
It's still out there. And it's the worst kind of cheese to be 100 years old.
It's out there. It's going to get us. Who has the government cheese? Who has access to the government cheese? Where do they keep the government cheese? How do they store it? Do they flavor it? Do they make it taste different? What? Government cheese? Huh?
I'm going to answer about half your questions.
Like, I cannot believe this,
maybe
Colin.
30%.
This is fucking insane.
35 if we're lucky. This is fucking insane. Yes. Government. And this is why I've been screaming about this since these notes, they wrote themselves.
This is,
this was probably like 4 hours of note writing. I looked at, oh my God. It stresses me out, man.
I am so stressed out. I feel like a random block of government cheese is going to show up at my door at like midnight, the stroke of midnight, and then I'm going to have a curse put on me, and I'm going to have to find a way.
I'm going to have a stroke of midnight.
And then I'm going to have to find a way to pawn off this government cheese onto someone else, and it's a curse, and it never ends.
That's what it really
This feels should
like.
Be the Halloween episode.
Oh my God.
This is the scariest thing I've ever heard of.
Right?
Government cheese just lurking out there.
It is lurking. Ugh. So there's still more cheese out there than they were producing annually in 1880. And reminder, that was from St. Louis, Missouri to Miami, Florida.
They're making more than...
They're making more... They have more of that on deck.
Oh.
There's enough of it still in storage that if it were in cubic foot blocks, it would stretch from New York City to Los Angeles.
No!
And back to New York City.
No.
And then back again.
Four times. That cheese...
Three times across the country.
That cheese is bi-coastal.
That's over 43 million cubic feet of cheese.
No, no, this is not fucking real. This is real. What the fuck, Colin? What do you mean? Yes. What do you fucking mean? What do you mean we just have this much cheese somewhere? Where the fuck are they keeping this shit?
That's a great question.
No, this is bigger than the aliens, man. This is bigger than the aliens. This is bigger than 9/11.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Yes, Sierra.
This is.
Guess where it is.
This is the craziest.
Guess where it is.
Is it in the ground?
Yes. It's in Subtropolis. What is What is Subtropolis? Well, let's back up to mid-century United States.
What the hell is going on?
And this is
going
to sound like a diversion, but I'm telling you, we're right on track. There's this man. He's named Lamar Hunt.
Okay. Lamar's Donuts?
Yeah. His family was wealthy from the oil industry, so he's wealthy too.
Okay.
He tries to buy a couple different NFL teams for years with no luck. So he starts his own league. He's like, NFL, NF fuck you. I'm going to start my own league called the American Football League, the AFL. And so he starts his own team, the Dallas Texans. And then the NFL is like, absolutely not. And so they place their own team in Dallas called the Dallas Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
So as a result of this, this new team in town, the Dallas Texans struggle to win over fans. Everybody's going for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They want the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because they're with the NFL, and the AFL is this newfangled thing that nobody really likes, but it's there.
Right.
So, in 1963, and I'm sorry, sports fans, I'm doing my best. I don't really understand this, and it is, like, batshit. All of this is batshit.
I don't know how this has to do with cheese, but...
We'll get to it.
Okay.
So, in 1963, Lamar packs his bags and moves to Kansas City, Missouri, and brings his team with, rebranding them as the Kansas City Chiefs. So it just so happens that he becomes successful. And so what does he do? What does Lamar Hunt do? Which also, I don't think he's related to Caroline Hunt, the person, the nutritionist from 1916.
He builds a football stadium out of cheese.
Kind of.
Okay.
In 1964, he starts digging a giant cave. He digs a giant cave under Kansas City, and he starts renting out the space inside of it. And the USDA purchased some of that space to store their buttload of cheese in it. And he's the reason that everything sucks. Lamar Hunt is the reason everything sucks. He's also the reason the Super Bowl is called the Super Bowl. So I hate him extra because that makes absolutely no sense. The end. Jesus H. Christ, man.
Yeah, okay, okay, no. All right, wait. Shut up. Are you kidding me? So, okay, there's just a guy. And he says, I want an NFL team. Well, the NFL doesn't like me. I'm going to make my own club. Exactly. Then he makes his own club. And then he realizes that nobody fucking wants him in Texas. So what does he do? He moves out of Texas into a state and burdens that population with Texans, which sucks. And then he changes the name to the Kansas City Chiefs. And then...
Which also says something about him, if he's naming it appropriative as fuck. Excuse me, sir.
And then he just builds a cave under Kansas. Can you go? I've been to Kansas City.
It's
and
flat.
I've literally never heard of this before.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of cool that they have this because underground storage is going to become a big thing. You can save a lot of energy when you don't have to heat or cool a place. You save 70% of your energy if you don't have to heat or cool your place.
This week's episode is sponsored by...
Subtropolis. No, literally, it's the coolest thing in the world, but they just have a buttload of cheese inside of it and other things. like data centers. Data centers are really good for down there because you most of the money you spend with a data center is either electricity or electricity for cooling it.
Yeah.
So if you don't have to cool it.
Yeah, no, it's a cool idea, but like, why?
And in 1964, you're thinking of that?
And the USD is just like, there's this guy, and he has a cave in the ground, and I think we might be able to rent it.
I mean, they have so much cheese.
How long is their lease? How much do they pay this man?
I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Do you want to hear something else that'll really twist your nipples?
Subtropica?
Tropicana orange juice.
Tropicana orange juice is scurvy. Tying it all in.
Subtropolis.
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 Meaning under. Trop meaning...
I don't know.
And then olis is a city thing.
Yep.
It sounds like an EDM group.
Subtronics is an EDM group. You're very right.
Thank you. That's the one genre of music I don't know and don't care about. I don't think I will ever get over this.
You know what else you will never get over?
What?
When he's done building his little cave underground, putting cheese and data centers in it. You know what he did?
What?
He built an amusement park on top of it, on top of the hill that this cave is in. Just because he could. He's using the underland, but not the overland.
Okay.
So there's this amusement park.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, Missouri.
And it's on top of a bunch of government cheese.
On top of a hill, and there's government cheese.
In it.
Yeah.
In the hill.
Yep. And then also the Kansas City cheeses somehow are related.
This feels like a fever dream.
It is a fucking fever dream. Let me tell you. When Jake sent me just a cool little fucking TikTok about a cheese cave in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, in fact, when he sent me that TikTok, I was like, this is kind of cool. And then I got into it. And then I was like, what the fuck?
I feel like I just got beat the fuck up by a living block of cheese, bro.
I feel like I
just ate an entire block of cheese.
A very whiplashy today.
I cannot believe this. Anything that I eat for the rest of my life that has cheese on it, I'm going to say, is this government cheese?
Right? But it just makes you really think about, how much...
if you really fucking think about it, dude.
There's so much cheese out there. Like, the American food system is based so much around cheese.
Yeah.
Like, you go to a restaurant, it's hard to get something without cheese.
Yeah.
You have to try.
Cheese is good.
I mean, yes, it is. I love cheese.
I know you can't I should have it,
but I still do sometimes.
And that's okay. We're only human.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. Podcast. Exactly. I feel horrible. In many ways. Let me explain. So, physically, I feel ill. Because now I'm just thinking about all the cheese I've ever had in my life. And that makes me want to vomit.
How many millions of pounds of cheese you've had in your lifetime?
And how much of it is still stuck to my body somehow. My second thing. If I can remember what it is. I feel a little bit racist for liking cheese. And I'm not really sure how to unpack that. Because anytime I'm, like, around, like, a lactose intolerant person, I'm like, I fucking love cheese, and I love milk, and I feel bad that this person can't have it, because it's really good. You know what I mean? Also, another thing.
Okay, it's one thing. It's like the whole religion thing. You can like something, and it can be yours, whatever. It can be, like, not saying that's white culture, liking cheese. It kind of is. I mean, look at fucking Wisconsin. But
period, get them.
Right.
But the thing is, the same thing with religion. Don't shove it down other people's throats.
I don't want to. No, that's I'm not saying you are. I'm saying Americans do. I just want you to enjoy it as well. It's good.
I want you to enjoy my Christianity too.
Cheese is so good, dude. Like, in the best way. I promise I'm not trying to convert you.
I do like cheese. There's some good dairy-free cheese out there too.
And there's so many milk alternatives now.
Yeah.
I was, like, raised on fucking milk, dude. Oh, my God. My dad and I used to drink a gallon of milk in a week.
That's not that surprising. I mean, I drink approximately one of those 54-ounce things of oat milk every day.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But
I feel like a psychopath for liking milk.
Is it Annabelle 54 ounces?
Annabelle, I don't know.
The carton. Half gallon?
Half gallon. You drink one of those?
Almost every day.
Damn. Annabelle chastises me for drinking milk.
I also drink milk sometimes. I just think it's funny to make fun of her because she gets really upset about it.
I get nervous.
I think it's a little weird to raw dog milk. Why? I mean, I don't like, raw
it's
dog
weird. Like oat it's milk. Good. It's weird.
I like put protein and other milk shit in it.
Good, dude.
Get some psyllium
chocolate
in there.
Chocolate chip cookies. Dip them in milk.
Yes, that.
That's going to be in my wedding. Fuck a wedding cake. We're having chocolate chip cookies.
That's great. I love that.
And you, there will be milk alternatives just great. For you because of the mental scar that this episode has left me. I cannot fucking believe that we just have so much cheese and it's out there. It's out there and it's going to get you. The government cheese is going to get you. Oh my God. They should have a website, governmentcheese.gov.
They should. They should.
G-O-V-C-H-Z. Well, most of it they don't own. Z.gov.
A lot of it's owned by private companies, which I assume means like Taco
private
Bell.
Companies?
I'm serious.
The oil
a
industry.
Lot of it they've a lot of it they've sold off. And I think a lot of it is like fast food companies that use it for filler cheese, you know? Oh. But I mean, Taco Bell, like the cheese that they use to make, like if you're baking a product with cheese in it, it doesn't really matter the quality of the cheese.
Yeah.
That sounds really
good. Gordon Ramsay would have
a I disagree with myself for saying that. But I'm saying like with a fast food chain, you don't expect the cheese to actually be good. You just expect to be gooey.
You just expect it to be cheese.
Yes.
Do you think Gordon Ramsay knows about government cheese?
Absolutely.
Do you think he's in on it?
He probably owns half of it. It's his little fetish.
Yeah, he's got a whole fucking basement full of fucking, I almost said fetish cheese.
Oh, it's just sex toys made out of
ew. I found out that Gordon Ramsay is a Scorpio and I get it. I get why I love him so much. I don't know what it is.
I thought it was his disheveled looks.
It is. I mean, it's all of it. It's everything about that man. I love him so much, but I'm really going.
It looks like he was run over by a tractor, and he sounds like someone that had been run over by a tractor.
I'm going through a phase right now, and I don't care what you say about him. I love him.
That's great. I mean, he's
thank you.
He's cool.
He's all right. I've met him.
He's cool. Well, I don't actually have anything against him. I just think it's funny that you love him so much.
I love him so much. Well, shit.
You know who I really love? You know who
Ronald
makes
Reagan.
Me? Ronald Reagan. Ronathan. No, very close. Ryan Reynolds of Reynolds Rap. He, oh my God, his eyes, like if he, okay, if this man stood in front of a camera with his eyes closed, I'd be like, yeah, that's a sexy man. As soon as he opens them, come in my pants.
Annabelle hates Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
Hates that man.
I love
him
so much.
What's the
I just think he's really like he is the epitome of a sexy human to me.
Yeah,
like,
it's Ryan Reynolds for you,
and specifically his eyes, as I told you.
Okay.
Like,
okay. Now we all have our next captains of our worm brains.
Ryan Reynolds is not a captain of my worm brain.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. Pitbull
Do you
is.
Want him to be Pitbull is. Definitely.
You knew this.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just silly.
I mean, Pitbull isn't really. I do have to find my captains. Ryan might be one of them.
That's what I'm saying, man. You gotta find someone that really resonates with you.
I don't actually know much about him or, like, he's that funny.
He owns Mint Mobile. He's in a bunch of
Aviation Gin.
Aviation Gin. He's in a bunch of fucking movies.
Soccer shit. He does soccer
and
shit
and he
or
owns, with Rob McElhenney. God, Jesus.
McGillicuddy.
Yeah. He's one of the co-producers of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is he?
Huh. And him and Ryan Reynolds own a football team, soccer team, in England.
That's why. Mm-hmm. Wrexham.
Wrexham.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I kept seeing him on the TV. I was like, why the fuck is he talking? I was like, he does not play soccer.
Yeah. No, him and Rob bought it. Because they
Bob
really,
brought it.
They really like, I don't know something about it. I fucking, whatever. Maybe Ryan Reynolds does run the worm brains.
I don't know.
You gotta
sure
find
Pitbull's
someone that really
somehow.
Speaks to your soul.
I think Pitbull is like sitting there, just watching everything happen.
The ones,
but somebody else is in charge.
The
and
ones
it's not
running
me.
The ones running my brains are very critical, harsh, insane, a little quirky, also funny and sweet. You know, just like that whole package.
Yeah, you sure are.
And then one of them committed tax fraud. She runs the silly parts.
She's like, little tax frog.
Yeah. Gordon runs the serious parts, and yeah. Abby runs the silly parts. She runs a daycare of the worms.
I wanted to share with you the audio recording that Jake sent to me that inspired this whole freak show of an episode. So here's Jake. Love you, Jake. Thanks for inspiring so much shit. Bless you.
So anyway, basically, I know about these caves because we used to get shipments from Kansas of bread. And our company owned a bunch of these caves that were in the middle of fucking Kansas, and they installed refrigeration units in them to keep them at a certain temperature, but because they're under so much fucking dirt, they stay at that temperature, so they only have to use the refrigeration units like once a week, and they kept our bread in there until, like, they would just mass stockpile it up until whatever holiday was coming up. So, like, 4th of July, all of our hot dog buns would have a shitload of, like sediment and rock on top of the packages on the top of the stacks, and I could never figure it out. And then I talked to one of the drivers, and he goes, yeah, they come from Kansas and they store them in these fucking caves. And I was like, where the fuck did these caves come from? And he goes, the government used to use them to store cheese. And I was like, okay, your answers are giving me more fucking questions. And so yes, government cheese is a legitimate thing. It's not just a phrase of like, oh man, I'm sure hoping the government give me my cheese this month. Like, no, it's a legitimate fucking government cheese type of situation. The shit is wild. Anyway, love you bunches. Love what you're doing. Keep it up. You're my fucking hero. And, yeah.
Holy Mwah. Shit. Fuck cheese. Fuck the government. Fuck Ronald Reagan. Fuck that guy that put milk in a fucking sack or whatever.
Yeah, fuck him. I mean, he's the reason we have cheese. I'm sure somebody else would have discovered it.
Yeah.
Also, it's literally just a theory. This was before written history.
It's just a theory?
Yeah. Nobody wrote down, oh, this guy walked across the desert. He had a sack. But, okay, so the ingredients for cheese are milk. And you need the protein, which is found in a stomach. So a cow's stomach has the protein rennet, which is what we use today.
Yeah.
We use a manufactured form of it. Yeah. But how do you do it back in the day? You probably use a stomach. And you might have not used a cow's stomach, but you probably would have used a sheep's stomach as a bag. And what would you put in the bag? Milk.
That's fucking crazy. So this is all postulating, speculating.
Uh-huh.
Except for the government.
And I'm not
cheese.
An anthropologist, so there might actually be...
And I'm not a chanthropologist. Cheese anthropologist.
Ah.
I don't have my degree yet.
At the end of the day, I think we can both agree we believe in Jesus Helvetica Christ.
We really do. He is my savior. Him and Ronald Reagan.
Jimmy saves.
Him and Jimmy Carter. Him and Jimmy Reagan and Ronald Carter are my saviors. Well, fuck. God.
Shit,
fuck, God damn it, Colin. And Jake. Jacob, I love you. I love your brain. I'd love you so much. God damn it. Well, thank you for telling me that. Do you have any notes app thoughts?
I have one.
While we're sitting here. I think I have one too. Let's find out.
Sisyphus, you know, like the Greek person.
Uh-huh.
And syphilis are too damn similar.
Yeah, they are.
You're That's right. my only thought.
Did you know that Schubert died from syphilis?
I'm not surprised. A lot of composers died of syphilis.
All right, so the first one. The CIA has a podcast.
Is this the new one? Because
CIA literally has a fucking podcast.
Yeah. Have you listened to it?
No, but I've seen clips of, or I've like heard clips of it. I'm sorry. I'm going to listen. I want to know, you know? That's crazy. They're the most like secretive fucking operation in the entire world. They got people everywhere. And now they're just out here on a platform on the internet saying things. Just like us. They could be sitting in a basement just like you and me. CIA people talking about CIA things.
They're probably in a lead box with Queen Elizabeth II.
Probably. They are in, what's it called? Stumbletown? Subtropica? Subtropia?
Oh, Subtropolis.
Subtropolis.
Yeah, they actually have a cheese room with cheese sex toys in it.
Yeah.
And cheese recording equipment.
They record.
They are the cheeses.
They are the Cheeses, and they record the CAA podcast in the Cheese Room in Kansas City.
It's called We're in a Cheese Room.
And it's... We're in a government cheese room. Okay.
Hey, CAA, if you're listening, let us know. We can have a crossover episode.
Real. We get to go film. We get to go record in
the cheese room.
The cheese room, and they get to come to the basement.
Oh my God.
Hit me up, wait. CIA. I know you're listening. Everybody's always listening.
Well,
thank you for listening. Thank you for telling me.
Absolutely.
I cannot believe that this happened. I'm clutching my pearls. My jaw is on the floor. I'm gooped and gagged at the gig. Holy shit. If you enjoyed, please go give us 5 stars.
5 stars.
Whatever platform you listen to us on, you leave us a review. Tell us what you would feed a little pilgrim boy, or what you would shove a pussy for clout. Or
about that.
What you would buy millions and millions of pounds of with the government's money.
What would you Jimmy Carter into a cave?
Yeah. Let
into
us know.
Lamar Hunt's little hole. His big hole.
The 5 stars in the review are not for our egos. It's just because we want more people to listen to the podcast because we have a great time.
And you have a great time.
You have a great time. And if you don't, you're crazy. Let's gaslight them. But thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week when we talk about...
Bye, Kink.
But...
What?
What?
I meant to say bye, pancake.
Bye, 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 bye,
bye.
Bye. Bye.
Catch us next week when we talk about it.
I said that already.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I missed it. I wasn't listening.
You were somewhere else. Goodbye.
Sayonara, sister. Boy.